Indie Girls with Sarai and Sherelle. We're two girls who love Formula One and IndyCar. This week is our Detroit GP recap. But before we jump into that, we are going to cover some news.
Joseph Newgarden, our Indy 500 winner for 2 years in a row, has gotten a contract extension for who knows how long.
All I said is a multi-year.
So he will be with us for a couple more years. And on the F1 side of things, Checo will continue with Red Bull through 2026.
Obviously, I am very happy about that one. Just because I know he will at least continue in the series. As a Checo fan, that is always my biggest worry is like, how much longer will he be here? So, I'm very happy to see that.
Your driver is safe.
Your driver is safe too.
Sainz isn't.
But Lando and Charles are.
Okay.
But Sainz isn't. I mean, Carlos is still one of my drivers.
True. And as of right now, your IndyCar driver is safe, but mine isn't.
We just gotta wait on that one.
I don't have patience. I need to know. There's been rumors, and I need to know what is going on.
Yes. But I think that's really it for news for the most part.
We have driver news on who's driving for Dale Coyne.
Oh, yes. Dale Coyne in the number 51 car is... Let us just find it for a second. I don't think it's on that. Don't mind us. We normally are more prepared than this. I love how you think I'm going to be able to pronounce that. Luca...
I don't even know if that's his... Giotto. Luca Giotto.
I'm sure I said that wrong. Okay. Giotto? We're going to...
He will pilot the 51 car for Road of America. Only Road of America for now. We
Wait,
never know.
Laguna Seca.
Oh, and Laguna Seca. I thought it said...
So, you know, who knows what other races or... I feel like at this point, like, Dale Coyne, you can just, you know... You never know who's gonna be in the car, so just pay attention week to week.
I feel like I want to address something. I didn't put this in our notes, so Cheryl's probably like, what? I just want to address the recent news that has come out with Agustin Canapino and Theo Pourchaer. It breaks our heart to see that IndyCar fans have... It was one of the smallest accidents we had in...
Like, the entire race.
It was one of the smallest accidents that there was. And Theo has received death threats because of it.
I think that's the thing. I feel like... Because obviously it's not the first time it's happened, and we can sure hope it's the last, but we all know it probably won't be. But I think it's so hard as fans. We all get attached to these drivers. But it's never okay to make death threats against somebody else.
It's also just not okay to be so hateful. Like, you're hiding behind a screen... But it's almost like you're saying it to their face because they have to read that. Other people out there have to read that. And it's like you're saying it to their face, which hurts. If anyone was receiving hate or death threat, it hurts. Luckily, like, I don't know where I was going with that luckily part. But it's just really sad to see that that's how people have to react to such a small accident. And it breaks my heart for both Theo and Agustin Canapino. They both put really heartfelt messages out. I feel like Canapino really put a heartfelt message out and was like, guys, this is not okay. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. Like, he wasn't mad at Theo. It was literally the smallest accident that there was.
And like, it didn't really affect his position in the race much. But I just think it's important to remember that these drivers are people too. They have feelings, they have emotions, and if you wouldn't do it to someone in person, you probably shouldn't do it online. Like, just because it's through a screen doesn't make it less hurtful.
It doesn't change the fact that you said those things.
And like, I feel like, you know, the IndyCar community, for the most part, is just, it's so much fun to be a part of, and I think we should continue to keep it that way. they keep their races so accessible and stuff, and they have such a good environment. So I feel like it's important to, you know, that we continue to be kind to each other and to the drivers.
So. Yeah, because it broke my heart to wake up and hear and see those posts this morning. Like, they've obviously been helped. Like, it's Tuesday. It's obviously been happening, you know, all day yesterday, and yesterday's Monday, and probably Sunday, that, you know, there was these hate comments and death threats going out, and it just breaks my heart that the drivers have to go through this, and that people think that it's a good idea to do.
And my thing is, like, it's a part of racing. Like, the drivers know when they get in those cars that there is, you know,
there are going to be accidents.
There is going to be accidents. It happens. And especially in a race like Detroit.
Where it's
how many accidents did we see? It's a tight street circuit.
So many.
They're close to each other. There's going to be accidents. And so I think, you know, just remember it's a part of racing.
Yeah. And if you see those hate comments, just try and, like, I don't know, for me, when I see a hate comment, I try and, like, put something else a little bit more positive out there and just kind of, like, flush out those hate. Not to, like, ignore the hate comments, because we shouldn't ignore them. Like, we need to address them when it happens. But just put something nice out there so the drivers also have something nice to see when they go in. Or the teams have something nice to see, or whoever has something nice to see. Because people deserve niceness and deserve to read the loving, kind thoughts that we all have versus the hateful death threats that people have. So... that's just my little, I just wanted to put something out there because I feel like as we do cover a lot of IndyCar and F1 things, you know, sometimes we do need to get a little bit personal, and I feel like that was our chance to get a little bit personal. But we love you all, and we hope that you guys will continue to be great, amazing IndyCar and F1 fans as you are already.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get right into our recap.
I think we should. We haven't done it a whole lot on our IndyCar stuff, but I think it's time to start. Do you want to go first?
Sure. My low of the weekend, I don't even know. Honestly. Do you have a low of the weekend?
Sure, I'll go with my low of the weekend. I just feel like he was involved in so many different things this weekend, so I'm gonna, like, you know, call it kind of my low. But I don't know what Ferrucci was doing this weekend.
I was like, who are you talking about?
But I felt like it was a little bit more dramatic than it needed to be. You know, when you're getting out of the car and, you know, going at people, you know, maybe right out of the car is not the right time to talk to someone if you're not gonna control yourself. So
your hands and your emotions.
Yeah. And he had multiple incidences with multiple drivers all weekend long, from practices to in the race. You know, not to say he's a great driver, but just this weekend I felt like was kind of not the greatest for him.
Valid.
I'm not gonna say anything negative about drivers, but
I still don't like.
Still struggling to come up with something.
I am struggling to come up with something.
I was like, I had so many others I could have said, but I was like, I can't always talk about, you know, one driver, so.
I feel like he didn't have a bad weekend, though.
It wasn't terrible, but they had moments. Which made me, you know.
I feel like I literally can't think of anything.
Okay, well, we can skip that part, I guess.
My brain is just drawing a blank. I'm the one who literally came up with the idea, and I can't think of a single thing.
Okay, well, let's talk about your driver of the weekend.
I think my driver of the weekend has to be Marcus Armstrong. I almost said...
Eric.
No. I'm going with Armstrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to confuse and add, like, three different people into one name. Armstrong is my driver of the day. He got his first podium of the season and of his career, so that was really good. He also had a really, really good job. He had a really, really good race. Wow, and did a really, really good job in the race. There we go. I'll correct myself. I feel like he just pushed through everything that happened because, like, let's be real, that was a disaster of a race in so many different ways.
Chaos.
And so I feel like he really just stuck with it and just stuck to what he knew how to do and just, he did really well. So that is my driver of the weekend.
I was going to say him as well, but I will do someone different. I mean, obviously, I know we talk about Dixon doing Dixon things all the time on this podcast, but, you know, I will give my driver of the weekend to Dixon because, once again, pulling off a fuel save, getting the job done, you know, doing what he does, getting another win, so.
That is very true. Oh, I have my low of the weekend.
Okay, what's your low of the weekend?
Christian Rasmussen getting out was my low of the weekend. I feel like he just hasn't had the best luck recently with, like, I don't know. I just feel like he just, I don't really have anything else to say. He just,
I mean, yeah. Getting out. It was a sad sight seeing, like, smoke just pour out of his car.
And so, like, that was kind of my low of the weekend. I knew there was something.
Okay.
I don't have much to say about it, except that I just feel bad that he, like, hasn't had the best luck with, like, really anything recently. Yeah.
I feel like he did, you know, good in the 500. Like, he did great in the 500, highest finishing rookie. But, yeah, I feel like he has had, you know, just, like, some bad luck this year so far. This season.
We're not very far in.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Okay, but jumping into, like, the actual race and what happened there. So, I mean, I feel like there's only really one word to describe this race, which is chaos.
I was gonna say caution.
Well, caution, too. Okay, maybe two words. Chaos and caution. Chaos and
caution. I know what we're naming this. C-squared. This podcast episode is C-squared.
C-squared.
Caution and chaos.
Caution and chaos.
The Detroit GP.
The Detroit GP. Yeah, so, first lap, you know, you got all the drivers trying to go through. Were we even to the hairpin yet? No, it was like, very first thing, Lingard, Theo, Will, try to go three wide. Theo ends up hitting Will, who starts to spin. Lundgaard, as Will starts spinning, also kind of hits Will. And then Will ends up sideways. And then he gets a pileup of drivers.
Like six different drivers.
Yeah. So you had Ferrucci, who tried to stop.
Ended up slightly hitting Will.
Like, just kind of a little bit.
Like a little love tap.
Yeah. But then into the back of Ferrucci, you had Pato. And then into the back of Pato, you had Rossi. And then you had Lundqvist, who, you know, decided to join the party. Because why not?
He decided he wanted to be, like, the cool kids.
Yeah. Luckily, all the drivers were able to continue. But, you know, it's after all kind of the other drivers made their way through. One at a time, they backed up and continued going. And then you had Will, who obviously is sideways, so he tries to get going. He pulls forward a little bit and kind of gets to the wall. And he's over there, like, waving them over to try and give him a push. Yeah. His little waving from the car.
He's like, come on! Come on!
And so they just kind of gave him a push backwards, and he was able to get going. But he did have to make a pit stop and get a new rear wing. Which I think is so funny, like, that they're able to change the rear wing, like, that fast. Because in
F1, you're done.
F1, yeah, that wouldn't happen.
You ruin your rear wing, you ruined your race.
Yeah. But during
Unless
that,
you duct tape it.
I mean, we definitely have seen duct tape before. Who knows? Maybe they would have gotten clever. Gotten crafty. But yeah, no, they were able to take care of the rear wing. Felix did have to come in and pit, though, because he got a puncture. And then, you know, they kind of got the restart going again. After the first restart, there was quite a bit of passing. You had, I think, what, Pelot, Joseph, Kirkwood, kind of all up there, right at the front, just kind of battling each other out. Herta, at that point, was in front, doing just fine. But then you had the first pit stop. Well, first pit stop that wasn't for, like, a puncture or a thing. First actual pit stop on lap 12.
Super early.
I know, I was like, oh. Super early. Pelot came into the pits to change to another set of alternate tires, which was kind of a, I mean, I get why, but that he came into the pits at all, it was kind of interesting. Someone who was great after the restart, Rossi. He was down, I think, at the restart, I mean, 20th, 18th, something, somewhere, like, he was back there.
He was in the backfield.
By lap 14, no, by lap 13, he was up to 14th.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was definitely out there fighting. Sorry, my notes are, like, all over the place. At around lap 16 is when Christian Lundgaard's team comes onto the radio asking about his tires, because he was also on the alternates. And he decided that he was kind of done with them. They weren't doing the best.
No, he kept losing places.
Yeah, he was like, okay, you know, bring me in. So he pulls into the pits, and right as he's doing that, we have
Barucci hits Castroneves and sends him spinning into Kevin Simpson.
And another caution.
Again.
Because
one wasn't enough.
Yeah.
But just wait. There's more.
Sounds like that's going to be us all day.
It sounds like
the whole episode. But wait.
But wait. There's more. It sounds like a from like true crime podcast. But wait. There's more. Sorry. I've been listening to way too much true crime.
But no. Okay.
Multiple drivers end up pitting under the caution, including Pelot, who for some reason, he just really wanted to pit again.
See, he pits again, but he gets rid of the alternate tire. Wow. The alternate tires.
And goes to the primaries?
Goes to the primaries. He doesn't have to run the alternates anymore in the race. So he kind of just got them done.
But, like, there were some early pit stops.
No, they were, like, but I just feel like the whole race, like, they could practically pit whenever with all their caution.
So true.
And I mean, at the beginning, you don't know how many cautions there's going to be, so they're, you know, they're pitting on the cautions and stuff, but, man, I feel like the last few races in IndyCar have been very much a thing of, like, there have been so many cautions in the last few races, I feel like they're out there playing bumper cars. Like, the amount of contact there has been.
It's a little bit more expected because you're going in oval at, like, high speeds.
Well, and I get this is a street course, like, it's tight. But I just feel like it's been, like, race after race after race.
I don't remember what.
Which, I feel like, you know, these are talented drivers, but they definitely, you know, they're obviously pushing hard and trying to make up spots, and you get accidents. But there's a lot more fighting, obviously, as we, you know, get some more stuff going on. So, with all those drivers coming in under the caution, someone who decided that he was okay on those alternate tires, even though a lot of the drivers weren't loving them, was Kyle Kirkwood, and he's like, you know what? I'm fine. Don't need to come in. Theo Pourchaire also stayed out on those alternate tires. So you had quite a few drivers who just kind of stayed out, deciding not to pit. Ferrucci obviously got a penalty for that incident. He got a stop-and-go penalty.
For avoidable
contact.
Yeah.
And then we obviously had Rasmussen's race ending as he had smoke pouring out of his car. So sad to see. Because I feel like he has so much potential that things just keep happening. So, hopefully one of these days we'll be able to see him do a little bit more. By lap 28, Rossi was up to 8th. Because, like I said, he was really going for it. He said, forget, you know, what happened lap 1. We're still gonna end this race in a good position.
You ready for this? I don't think you guys are ready for this. Guess what?
What?
McLaughlin locked up and spins into the wall, causing our third caution. And then it decided to put a little twist on things and decided to rain, which I feel like caused the start of a bunch of chaos.
Yeah, my thing is, so he spins into the wall. People obviously start pitting. But then it starts to rain. So you have more people deciding to come pit. For the wet tires. And it's still all under caution. And this is like multiple laps later. And they're just out there running under caution. And even the commentators were like,
it was like 10 laps.
Their commentators were like, why the heck are we still under caution? Like, eventually you gotta restart this race. Like, we're just out here running. And it's hurting those who, you know, decided to, you know, pit under those wet tires because, you know, they could maybe get going a little bit in the rain. But, you know, we're not going. And then by the time it finally, you know, they, so I guess I should talk about why they stayed under caution so long. Do you wanna tell us why? Tell us why, Soraya. Why did they stay under caution so long?
Because they were dumb. No, I'm just kidding. Because they were looking at the order of where the drivers need to be. Which was not necessary, because, like, they were just fine.
And they didn't, like, really have them change orders.
No one moved, like, anywhere.
They didn't do anything, so why did we continue to run under caution for so long? Yeah, I think everybody was just confused about that. Finish that note. But yeah. So, with that, under that caution, they told Scott Dixon, he had to drop back 3 spots because he failed to pack up at some point. I don't know when. So, basically, he didn't pack up into the pack enough, and so he got had to drop down a few spots. But finally, lap 41, they decide they'll go green.
Wait, you forgot something.
What did I forget?
While everyone was pitting, they were going to, Lundgaard's team was like, pit this lap. And they, never mind, you didn't miss this.
This happens soon.
But it doesn't happen now. Just kidding. Don't listen to me. Because this happens during the green.
Never lap mind. 41, they go back to green. At this point, it stopped raining for the most part. I mean, obviously, it's still a little bit wet. But the track is drying. And so you've got a mix of people on wet tires and dry tires. Well, you know, they start going. Right after the restart, Will Power and VK come together. VK ends up stalling and we get another caution. So this is when everybody starts to pit again because now they don't want to be on the wet tires. They need to get those tires off.
No, you did miss a part. Because Lundgaard yelled at his team because they were like, you need to come in and pit for your wet tires. And Lundgaard was like, no, I'm staying out.
Oh.
You did miss that. Okay.
Okay, well, he stayed out. He was like, I don't think.
He was like, it's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine. I'm not going in and pitting.
Yeah. So he stayed out, but he did come in this caution period.
He did come in this caution period. But you forgot that part.
Well, I didn't obviously pay that much attention to it. So they come in, everybody's trying to get off the wet tires, Lingard's just coming in for a normal pit stop. But the pits are a little bit slick, and we end up having a few problems. Lundgaard ends up hitting, as he's pulling in, he hits, the front tire that's out there waiting. One of his pit crew members ends up with, a cut on his shin.
That was from New Garden, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, but Joseph has problems with his pit stop. They didn't get the wheel gun pulled back fast enough, and so he got it came with him, and he ran over it, and he ends up because it kind of pulled him to the side.
Yeah,
and he ended up
almost hitting the high V team. So yeah, Lundgaard's pit crew.
One of Joseph's pit crew members kind of, got pulled with the gun. With the grunt, and it was just kind of a mess.
And then that's when Lundgaard's crew member got hit, because he got hit with the gun on his shin, so it kind of...
Yeah. But yeah, all sorts of craziness in the pits. Lap 46, we go back to green.
Are you sure about that?
not really.
I don't think we can go a single lap without it going to caution.
Because, Herta decides he's gonna try and go past some people, but ends up going straight on and not making the turn. You know what it reminded me of, honestly? It reminds me of in F1, in Baku, a few years ago, with the magic button and Lewis. Have you ever heard? You probably haven't referred to it as the magic button.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, Baku 2021. At the restart, after Max is out of the race, you have Checo and Lewis going on the restart, and Lewis just flies straight on through instead of turning and making the turn. That's what it reminded me of. You have Herta who just, sails on through.
I know what you're talking about, but I
You haven't heard it referred to as the magic button?
No.
Okay. Well. Okay.
I also just don't pay attention to that much stuff that happens after the race.
Yeah.
Once the race is
done. I didn't even watch that race in person, but I've seen enough about it and people referring to it as the magic button.
You do go back and watch things more than I do.
Yeah. So that's what it looked like. He just goes straight through. And, even the commentators were like, ooh, good job there. I'm gonna butcher this, even though we practiced it. Butcher.
That's how it is.
Good job. Ha-ha. Butcher is able to...
Don't ask me his first name.
He was, on the outside going to turn in. When Herta comes flying by, he's able to, stop himself. He does end up kind of going into the runoff as well, but does not cause any damage. Doesn't make contact with Herta. Very good driving not to hit Herta at all.
Tristan.
Yeah, so very good job on his part. I feel like, it's impressive not to, when you have the fact someone who just flies past, not to hit him.
Has no IndyCar experience whatsoever.
Well, he does. It's not just really been a few years. He just hasn't raced in, like, 3 years. I can't remember what the last time. Four or five. Like, it's been a while since he raced. He has experience, just not recent experience in the last few years.
The cars have changed.
Yeah. But yeah. So we have that happen. Now I gotta find where I was at.
This is when Will gets a penalty for contact with VK.
Oh yeah. They talk about all the penalties at this point. All the penalties start rolling out. So, yeah.
And then on lap 53, it goes back to
green. But there was another penalty.
You didn't write it down.
Oh, maybe I deleted it. Never mind.
Castrodovis gets a penalty.
I was thinking about later on, when they talk about other penalties.
Okay.
Just don't listen to me. Okay. There's too many penalties in this race, given at too many different cautions.
On lap 53, the grid goes back to green. Then, we still can't make it a whole lap. Lungard decides to... Actually, I think it was Grosjean and Lungard decide to hit each other. And then Armstrong gets cornered in, and Lundqvist also gets stopped in this. And so now you have another car pileup. Which means another caution. Luckily, all the drivers were able to get going. Everything was fine. And Herta and Ferrucci hit each other.
We don't know when that happened. They kind of just showed like a little
replay.
So I don't know if it was before the caution, after the caution. I just know they hit.
They hit. And then the grid goes back to green.
On lap 60.
But don't worry. End there. Theo Pourchaire hits Agustin Canepino for literally the world's smallest, like, little love tap, I swear, compared to all the other accidents. And that's why he got all of his hate and death threats. Anyways, besides the point. This is when they were... handing out a lot of the penalties. Joseph got a drive-through penalty for his pit stop incident that he had. Lungard had a stop-and-go penalty for his avoidable contact with Grosjean.
I was like, we act like we're done.
We're not done.
We're not done.
We're not even close to being done.
Then actually, we have Stingray Rob and Scott McLaughlin.
Well, because they were like, oh, we're going to have a lap and we're going to be fine and everything's going to go well and no more penalties are going to give out or no more incidents.
Okay, well, they didn't think that was going to happen, let's be honest. The whole time they were talking about betting on yellows because they know it was going to happen.
Yeah, but they were like, it's not happening.
They did have a few laps where it was nothing. Like, where it was good for a few laps.
Keyword few.
Because, obviously, it wasn't very many because... Stingray and Rob and Scott McLaughlin have a little moment. McLaughlin hits into Stingray, and Stingray ends up in the tire wall. And as he's trying to back out, he stalls the car. So we obviously have another caution. And they decide to hand out even more penalties. So...
This is what you were thinking.
Yes. Castroneves gets the penalty. For a failure to follow directions from IndyCar, Grosjean gets a penalty for service in closed pits.
Full service.
Yeah, full service in closed pits. And then Theo has to give up 3 spots for the contact with Canepino. So, you know, a lot more penalties given out. And then lap 70, we go back to green.
But are you sure about that?
But what happens? Do we really go back to green?
No, Joseph and Pillow decided, we gotta make this more exciting. And Joseph hits Kirkwood and spins, and Kirkwood spins and, no, Joseph spins.
Joseph spins. Pillow.
Hold on.
Sorry.
It's fine. Hits him and has another caution! Once again, 4 laps later, we end up going back to green.
And guess what, guys? we stay green for the whole rest of the race.
Whoa! So good. So good. I lost my spot.
Well, Joseph does have a brief moment of contact with the wall. But other than that, we, you know, pretty much everybody does good. Dixon and Armstrong, they both pit, like, earlier back before some of the cautions. And they are able to run the rest of the way from that pit stop because of all the cautions that they ended up having. And that strategy worked out great for them. They were able to save the fuel under those caution periods. And they both are able to make it to the podium. Armstrong did have to kind of fight hard to hold off Kirkwood. But Erickson ends up making it past both Kirkwood and Armstrong and taking that second spot on the podium, with Armstrong coming in third. And then Soraya's favorite thing happens. As Christian Lingard is running in fifth position, he pits on the last lap and drops to 11th. And I obviously have no idea why they pit, unless it was they really just did not have enough fuel and they needed to come in so they could finish the race. That would be my only guess. But good job to the Arrow McLaren team. All three of their drivers were in the top 10. Obviously, great job to Dixon.
Once again.
For doing.
Dixon does. Dixon things.
Yeah. So, good job to Dixon there. And I feel like just good job to the Chip Ganassi team having two cars on the podium. Andretti did well. Did well as well. Second. They had two drivers in the top four. And, yeah. It was, I feel like, kind of a difficult day for Penske.
Every single one of their drivers got a penalty.
Did Scott, though?
I think so. I think he ended up getting one for the incident with Stingray Rob.
But, yeah.
If not, then I was wrong. Oh, and I'm bad.
I don't know if we talked about that. Joseph did get a penalty for that pit stop situation.
Yeah, we said that.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember. I remember we talked about the pit stop. I just couldn't remember if we talked about the penalty
for it. I mentioned he got a penalty for it.
Okay, yes, you did. I remember now. We're good. So, I feel like, yeah, as we talked about before, chaos, caution, two words that describe this race. 47 of the first 73 laps were under caution. They had 8 caution periods. The longest stretch of green flag running in those first 73 laps was 13 laps. And that was, like, in the beginning, after their first caution. So I feel like that kind of sums up the race and what it was like. It was nice to be able to see the last, like, 26 laps run under, you know, green flag to kind of see, you know, the drivers actually get going and be able to make passes and stuff. Yeah.
Next week, we have our Canada GP and our Road of America GP recap. We also need to try and get our Monaco GP recap out sometime.
I mean, is there really much to talk about in that race?
Yes.
The first lap.
There is always stuff to talk about in the Monaco race.
The first lap. And the ending.
Yeah, we can still make a podcast out of it. Okay. I feel like our fans deserve it.
We'll make a podcast. Who knows when it will come out.
We'll make it happen.
It'll come out eventually.
Someday. Our fans deserve it. Our Ferrari fans deserve it, okay? They deserve me talking about it because we all know how much I am a Ferrari fan. So they deserve me talking about Charles Leclerc's win.
We will Sainz get on the podium. Around to watching it eventually.
I watched it.
Oh, well. Well, you watched it. Yeah, well, I have not watched it. When did you watch it?
This weekend. Mm. When I had nothing else to do with my family.
I worked all weekend long, so that was not happening.
I didn't watch the full thing. I watched the highlights. I watched like the 30, the race in 30. That's what I watched.
Yeah, I was like, I have been working all weekend long, so that definitely was not happening.
So we have those... We'll try and get out.
Recaps. Eventually, we'll get to Monaco.
But yeah, that is pretty much our Detroit GP recap. Thank you for joining us this week. We hope you will come and join us next week. This has been F1 Indie Girls, and we will see you next week. Bye!